You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Right, it's Cinco de Mayo, 5/5/17. Anything happened today? This is the Fakeologist speaking. I'm in the Discord audio chat live stream, just waiting to see if anyone wants to come in and have a yap. If you're out there on listening to Fakeologist.com Radio 3, I'll be here for a little bit. So come on down and have a chat. I see Conkers. I see Lumberjack Greg. Come on down, boys. I see a Biz. Biz, you can come in too. Come on, boys.
Yo.
Hello. Is that a Biz?
That's me, man. How's it going?
It's going. Is that a Biz or a Biz?
What, it's a Biz, I guess. That's how most people pronounce it.
Oh, we got Conkers, too. Hey, Conkers.
Conkers, what's up, man?
Conkers conked out.
I guess so.
Well, where are you at today?
I am about to hit Dallas-Fort Worth traffic. I'm on my way home down in Fort Worth.
Oh, yeah. I'm in Toronto traffic. I don't know what's worse. I thought I'd kill some time in the Discord chat here, in the audio chat, go live streaming around the world. And you're in traffic in Dallas-Fort Worth. That's fantastic. How's the weather down there?
Oh, it's beautiful, man. It's high 70s and sunny. Nice breeze.
Oh, yeah. We're in the 40s, and it's raining. It's miserable. If I didn't have my fakeologist to talk to, I don't know what I'd do. Say that again, Abiz?
I was asking how high did your temperature get in the summer?
We got a couple of days in the 90s. You can probably count them on two hands sometimes four hands, but in general we don't get too hot. We're on the lake. The lake has a warming effect in the winter and a cooling effect in the summer.
That's nice. Yeah, it's going to be miserable here soon. I don't know if you've ever been down to Texas in the summer.
No, I have not. I have never been that far south. I'd like to go one day.
That's not bad.
What's
place.
New? Who did I listen to that was from Texas recently? On the Clues Chronicle. They had a guy named Sacred Cow Slayer on Clues Chronicle 20, and he was a lawyer from West Texas, and his other name was something else. I can't remember his other name. Ace or somebody. Something funny. Anyway, I don't know what his real name is, but he was pretty interesting. Did you listen to him on Clues Chronicle 20?
I didn't hear that one.
Oh, he was talking about
Did he say where he's from in West Texas?
Well, I think he was a traveling defense lawyer. He mentioned Wichita Falls, and he just mentioned driving big distances. He might have even been from Dallas, for all I remember. But a smart lawyer. He was very interesting. He was explaining the legal system, so I thought maybe my fellow Texans like Chris Kendall from Folksbusterscall.com, even though he's from Oklahoma, he's not too far from northern Texas. I guess, was it the Panhandle?
Yeah, he's not too far. He's straight north of Wichita Falls. Not too
right.
far. That's the closest main city he's by.
Yeah, but he was, this guy was really interesting. And he's a Clues Forum / Fakeologist type thinker. And he was talking about how he can't really talk about this kind of information with his colleagues in the court system. And he was just explaining the legal system, how it really works. It was just really a good conversation. If anyone wants to hear some good audio, go to Clues Chronicle number 20.
Up. My
hello,
here.
Conkers.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Conkers. Well, it is now. Say hi to Abiz.
Abiz, how you doing?
Conkers, how you doing, man?
Good.
I'm glad you all could join me. I saw your green lights on, so I said, come on, guys, let's chat.
Yeah, because I'm on this tablet. I can only go on a different app, browser, then I can't this, so it's difficult. I need to get a laptop quickly. But yeah, we're here now. What are you chatting about?
Well, we're just starting the conversation. I got about half an hour before I make it to where I'm going. And I'm just chatting about the week in general, if anyone saw any psychological operations, if what everyone was up to, and it's a general fakeologist audio chat.
Okay.
What's going on in England? How's the prince? I heard he's retiring from...
retiring from all... I can't remember what the number gave, but it was something like 700 affiliations.
You're cutting out just a bit, Conkers. Why don't you lower your voice threshold? It's cutting out, so if you lower your voice threshold setting, it might stay open. The mic might stay open a bit more.
Okay. Yeah, it's quite high.
If you lower it down a bit, that way you won't cut out as much.
Okay. Are we all good?
Yeah. So, what are you saying about Prince Philly?
There's something about his duties. I can't recall the number. It was on a news report today, and they said something about 700. This is probably a silly, this might not be the right number, but it would say 700 affiliations with charities and organizations and all of this that he was, you know, associated with and working with. You think, how would one man go through 700 affiliations? You know, he'd have to, it's just obscene numbers. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, who's really counting anyway?
No, but I don't know much about that anyway. But with regards to the UK, I don't know. Not a great deal. Not a great deal I've looked at. There probably, it's probably loads, but not paid attention to much. Have you seen anything interesting?
No, I think it's been a light week. How about in Texas? Has there been much going on in Texas?
I heard something my buddies were talking about. There was some kind of active shooter or some guy stabbing somebody or something at a school or something. I forgot to look it up. I forgot about it, but they were mentioning something going on in Texas. This week sometime, I forget which day.
Yeah, the Sacred Cow Slayer was mentioning how he thinks, he was saying U of O, and I couldn't remember, I didn't know what he was referring to, what university, U of O. I didn't know what an O was in Texas, but he was saying that that's a bit of a hotbed, Texas, for creating psychological operations.
Yeah, there's been quite a few things in Dallas, that's for sure. I hear somebody was saying that there's like a Masonic temple in Dallas is pretty spectacular. If you get a chance to go look at that, but I've never.
Oh, you've never seen it yourself? Yeah, we have a Masonic hall in Toronto. It was a Masonic hall. It's not active though. It's an old building, but I don't know where the Masons hang out in Toronto. I know there's little lodges all over the place, but
there'll be lots. Around here, there's loads just in your small towns. And, you know, near me, I could say there's probably five within 10 miles of me.
Easy. Yeah. Have you ever been interested? Because I heard you have to ask to be let in or something like that. Have you ever come across Masons, Conkers?
No. I have met Masons. I've got a family member who was a Mason for a period of time. And we hear a few stories about that. He left that a bit.
Really?
Yeah. But it was small level. It's a funny one because he is a small town sort of guy. And I don't think, you know, I obviously meet the guy and chat to the guy. And he doesn't seem clued into it all. Just by the way he speaks and the way he chats about all these, you know, political things. Clearly, at whatever level he was at, and I think he made Master Mason, whatever level that, wasn't privy to these things. He just chats naively like anybody else, and it's not one of those that I think he's a crafty guy and it's a cover. You know, he genuinely believes these things.
Every now and then, I think that the people that are doing bad are often just blaming the Masons. You know how the Jews get blamed? I often think sometimes the Masons get blamed unnecessarily as well for things. But they can't tell us because they have to keep secrets. So they're in a catch-22.
Yeah, I think it's a funny one. It's the fraternal thing, though, isn't it? I think the longer they're in it, the further they make, you know, the more initiations they go through, the more conditioned they become. And then they're privy to the, you know, more information whilst being sort of deeper ingrained in that. Control, it's a control system, a bit like religion. It probably works in a similar way.
Yes, and they can't let us know what's going on, because if you're not in the club, you don't get to know.
Yeah.
I wonder if I wonder if humiliation is part of Masonry.
Yeah,
public humiliation.
Yeah, I think a lot of these ones you see that are obviously fakes. The one that popped to my mind when you said that was the recent one with the guy that read the wrong award out. I think there was a film that was meant to win an Oscar, and in the end it went to this film about a gay black guy. I can't remember what it was, but he got the wrong thing, and he was shamed on the stage. And even, what was it, La La Land?
All right. Yeah, I know. It was Moonlighting or something. That was on my list of things to watch. I forgot to watch it.
Yeah, and the way they sort of shamed him, the guy actually looked a little bit genuinely like he actually went and explained to the audience, and he had kind of looked genuinely shocked. He was just this little old man, probably done plenty of shit in his life, but he was this old guy. And I did wonder
if Warren Beatty?
Masonic hazing. You know, the whole, I can't remember who it was, so I didn't recognize him, but, you know, I don't know many of those. But, yeah, it did look a bit like
Warren Beatty.
Yeah, because even the guys in La La Land, you know, the way they talk to him, they sort of talk down to him. What the hell are you doing, man? You know, really sort of, yeah. And I thought, well, I wonder if that was a little ritual there, a little hazing going on.
Well, there's no doubt it was scripted. I have no doubt it was scripted.
That's it. The whole thing would have been scripted, but could he not have been privy to it, say? Because it was actually the woman next to him that said it, and he got the blame. Right. He didn't even say it. She shouted the name out, and he got the blame. And he looked all confused and scared, and I thought, yeah, I think he's just had a bit of a...
So you think they might have even set him up? He wasn't part of it,
just
yeah.
As a setup. It just is a Masonic hazing, like you get in a fraternity brotherhood. So at the low levels, because it would continue up to the high levels. So you look at the college campus, you know, I don't know, you're not too familiar with it over here. It's not so popular. It is, but I'm not aware of it. You know, in a frat house. The young ones have to do all the, you know, they get hazed, don't they? They get abuse, and just so you can make your way up to the next order, it's just part of the thing, and I think that will probably continue all the way up, and it obviously gets a bit more grandiose as it gets to those sort of levels.
And what do you know about Masons there, Viz?
I know that every little town I drive through, you see, it doesn't matter how small, all the ones I've seen, they usually have a Masonic temple of some sort, no windows, of course. I only know one guy that's a Mason, and he doesn't talk about it. He said, I was asking him about how people join. He said, just show up to the meetings. So I thought that was interesting, because I heard you had to be asked, invited, and all that, too. But he said, you just...
Other way around.
Yeah,
you have to be one, ask one.
Yeah.
Is that Lumberjack?
To be one, ask one. Yes.
Oh, yes, Lumberjack. Hi, and welcome.
Hey. He said, well, to be one, ask one is what the Masons say.
That's it, yeah. And then
they'll
often ask
for
reference from a Mason, won't they, or something like that.
That's right. You have to ask one, and they have to admit you. They go interview your wife and make sure she's okay with it. I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of tempting to go check it out, but that's something I've done so far.
No, it's
yeah, well, I don't know if I could get in, because they probably check me out and see that got too big of a mouth.
I don't think. I think they'd probably like it. I think if you approached it, I don't think they would care. If as long as you were,
really?
Yeah. I think with these kind of places, I think you can, because of the oaths and all the things involved. I think they'd take anyone from any walk of life, even if you were totally into all this fakery stuff. If you went in there and swore those oaths and went through all the, you know, followed the rules and all of that, I don't see why not. You know, there's people.
I doubt they'd care.
Go, Lumber.
I just said I doubt they'd care. I don't know if you'd make three.
No, you might be a bit limited, yeah.
Yeah, I might not get up.
They'll let the shit roll downhill straight onto you.
Yeah. Hey, Abiz, when you're driving through all the towns in Texas, do you notice the numbers, the highway signs and the mileage signs all have these occult numbers, these magic numbers? Do you ever see that?
Oh, I don't know. I see all kinds of numbers. I'm not knowledgeable on the numerology or anything, but
yeah, I call it Mason Feedy, where I see the next town is 11 miles or 33 miles. It's always these really, you would think they would pick even numbers that are easy to remember, but I just notice when I drive around Ontario, there's a lot of magic numbers. Maybe next time you're driving around, you could keep an eye out for highway signs and mileage signs.
I'm going to start paying attention now.
All right. Lumberjack Greg, what's up in your fakery world this week? Anything exciting?
Oh, nothing exciting. I just enjoyed talking to John a little bit last night, and good to hear from you.
Yeah, John LeBon is a very good talker, no doubt about that.
Yeah, he's always on to something.
Sometimes I never know if he's telling us something or attacking us. Sort of a fine line.
Keeps you on edge, doesn't he?
Yeah, what do you think, Cockers? He's a tough, he's complicated.
He is. Just as you think you're doing right by him. But bam!
He has a critique of everything.
Yeah, but that's good. That's what
it's,
I like.
It's not bad, though.
Yeah, I like that. You know, it's good. He's a personality, isn't he? I think, you know, again, it's good to listen to.
Yeah, so. He's a sharp cookie. He keeps, he does good audios. He keeps a group of people, when he does round tables, right in check. Right in check. I thought he was very good.
It tires me a bit. Like, I can listen to John. I like John the Bot, but I can listen to only so much because, like you say, it is quite, not abrasive, but, you know, it's quite harsh and direct.
A little abrasive.
Yeah.
I think he's getting impatient and intolerant a lot of times
I think
with
a lot of
the good listenership.
Yeah, and he is a young guy as well. He's got the passion still burning. It's strong. I say that, I'm still a young guy, but mine's still simmering, I suppose.
The other good host that I like is John Humanity. He says he's 23. He's very abrasive as well. He talks about EGI, of course, but I find that if you're 23 and you keep telling people you know everything, that turns me off.
Yeah.
Have any of you guys listened to John Humanity, the transvestigator?
Yeah. I thought his documentary was good. I thought he put it together pretty well. And it's about the best thing out there, really, like you could point someone to. Sort of covers.
Yeah, I didn't finish it. I got to, because it's something I have to watch. But I'll start that. Yeah, anyone's interested, just look up. He took the phrase elite gender inversion, EGI, and put it in the title, which is good because we think that's probably a better way of describing it. But I haven't finished it. But I just find him a little abrasive and a little too know-it-all.
There's an element of arrogance.
Yeah, a little too much. And he says the word like too much. It drives me crazy.
Yeah. But,
Lumberjack Greg, where do you weigh in on EGI?
That's a funny name for a simple agenda that seems to be going on. Or I don't know.
Do you see it? Do you see any of these people as being elite gender inverted? Or do you think it's just all a lot of nonsense?
I mean, I tend to just think about the gender confusion psyop in general. You know, it's definitely visible in the media. I don't understand the elite gender inversion thing. I don't know.
All right. Well, I'm still convinced something's going on with some people. I'm not gonna say it's with every promoted celebrity, but. If you show me pictures and you show me very strange torsos and all kinds of other physical features, that to me is very odd and worth, unless they're all Photoshop pictures, which I hope that's not the case. It's possible, but that'd be a lot of work to seed all these photographs on Google and on the respective websites.
Oh, I've seen some that are Photoshopped. I mean, they're pretty apparent, you know. Hmm. I mean, I posted in your chat, like, a picture of Dolly Parton. I mean, the woman looks like she's 14. She's 71.
Oh, yes. There's definitely photoshopping to make her look better, for sure. But did she start off as a man? I don't particularly know that case. But
I'd ever know that.
And photoshopping in the UK is prevalent. I'd say if you look in the Daily Mail, there's people that do research on this. And, probably over half, like obvious Photoshops, you know, when you actually really break them down with a lot, especially a lot of the royal ones, it's obvious. You know, there's a lot of people that break them apart when the prince and princess went and visited Africa and all these different scenes that were clearly they weren't there. And it does make you wonder. And he was talking along the lines of, they're directing fun. It's a good way to take all of this money that's being funded for all of these royal trips, and without having to actually make these trips, you could just chop these things up on, you know, knock it up on Photoshop, tell everybody it happened. There was one to India that was just obscenely apparent. I'd have to find the links. You know, it's hard, really. You have to obviously see the photos to see it, but all sorts of things that were just completely out of place, and they clearly weren't there. You know, that's probably what they are doing. They just Photoshop up because they've got it's so easy. You know, with all the funding yeah. they've got, you could have a highly qualified team, and it funds this. You know, it's got millions and millions of taxpayer money funding it. So I don't see why they couldn't do that on a big scale, really.
But, interesting. Well, is the point just to save them a trip to India, or?
I don't know. You know, it's one. I just toy with it again. It's not something I'm completely with. It's yeah. just they put across the point is lots of things. Really, I think it's to push the actual perception of these things. Because if you were to see it from the point of view that royal family, you know, the ones we see are actors and actresses put in front of us, then it's to keep yeah. this whole thing afloat, isn't it? Of they keep, you know, keep up their royal duties and all of this. Well, and what you get these actors to do this when you could chop it up, you know, do it on the computer in no time. And people believe it. Honestly, the Daily Mail is littered with it, photoshopping. It's just, yeah, it's mad, really. But because it's so easy. Again, it's like fakery, isn't it? It's like 9/11. Why would you do the thing if you could fake it? And it's the same with all of it. If you get away with it on that scale, and financially speaking, if you can get away with it on a smaller scale, I think a lot of stuff, and I don't think everything in the paper is Photoshop and people never go anywhere and everything's green screen. I think you'd be surprised. I bet a lot is.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot is, yes. I agree. Well, I traveled all the way to our nation's capital, Ottawa, to see William way back in the day. I could barely see him, but I have to admit, I go in and out with the royals in terms of what I'm fascinated by is how many people are fascinated by him. That blows my mind. What a following they have.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, almost more so in America than over here. Over here, people, there's still an old school group, but I'd say the younger people here couldn't care much. You know, they've made William and Kate into sort of media celebs and they like them, but.
Yeah, it's, well, that's because they're closer to their age.
Yeah, I think the royalty thing is sort of dying off a bit here. People don't really give a toss for them. I don't think much. You know, that most people you speak to are pretty anti-royalty, really. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what they'll do with that. Perhaps, you know, I think this is, again, complete speculation, but what do you think on a change of things, you know, a big shake-up at some point? You know, when, you know, they're saying the current system sort of works to a certain level, and then there sort of comes a time when you say, right, we'll sort of change this up, you know.
I don't see any shake-up on the horizon in my mind.
No, not for a positive benefit, but just for a perceived shake-up. See what I mean? So say, from the power going from oligarchies and royal families and all of this, and, you know, the power go, like you see shown in a lot of these films, the power going to these big corporate giants, you know, your Googles. But then I suppose that boils back to your Google corporate giants are government entities. So you sort of go
or, well, somebody owns them, yeah. Somebody owns them. Someone collects the money, so. Yeah, I don't see the system changing because I don't think there. I think if the system changes, there has to be a better one to replace it.
Yeah, and I think this one works well. I mean, it's ticking along nicely, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of a nasty system for many, but it's a lucrative system for a lot, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen a big push of these prefab homes over here. Because the housing crisis here is getting really bad. Young people just can't afford houses. And I think...
Well, yes, that seems to be a global world. I don't want to say global too much. Yeah, I think it's worldwide. It's in Toronto as well. It's in all the major cities.
Yeah.
The big cities around the world, the Western world.
Yeah, and I think that's agenda-fueled, isn't it, with these... you just see there's a lot of introduction to these prefab homes. You know, basically you've got like a shipping container. You know, like this, the size of, say, a box on the, you know, like a box lorry. And they fit all these sort of cool homes. And there's this big campaign over here now. There's this home that you can move. It's a mobile home. And it's basically a shipping container, kitted out, clad in. Looks modern and nice and fancy. And that's the next big thing. And they're really cool. But I think there is another side to those things where that's kind of going to become the
expectation
for a young person. Well, that's the question. I thought that. I thought, God, it didn't look convenient. You've got to get a bloody low loader to come and move it every 2 weeks or however long you're allowed to stay in one spot.
Yes, but, you'd have to get a loader. Exactly. Those are big, super big cranes. I know guys that use ship containers.
Yeah, and I think that would cost you, you know, over here that would cost you probably nearly £1,000 probably for a round trip.
And move it somewhere. Yeah. Where would you move it?
Yeah. So it's silly, but there's still a big thing over it. Anyway, it's a big, I'd have to find the link, but,
I've never really heard of it.
Yeah, it's
over
a big
here.
Movement. Prefab homes. And I think that will become the next expectation for young people here, because people now, whereas 20 years ago they might have expected, you know, to move into a 2-3 bedroom house with land, now they haven't got that expectation because it's so out of reach. So I think the next, when they introduce these prefab homes, I think people would go crazy for them if they could make it convenient, you know, and that's when you'd look at them being sort of, you know, you could see them sort of stacked. You could see all sorts of silliness.
What about you, Abiz, in Texas? They got people living in shipping containers? Are the house prices in the major centers going crazy through the roof in those places?
Yeah, they're going up some. I think, houses are expensive as hell anyway, but they're not as bad as, like, New York or California. But I've seen, there's been some lots where they have those shipping containers for sale. We actually checked it out because we saw some pictures online, me and my wife.
Really?
They do make them look kind of cool. But,
That's interesting.
Yeah, it'll be big, I think.
Yeah,
it's going to be a big industry, I think.
But where do you put them? Do they go to trailer parks?
That's where government comes in, doesn't it? Because I think with the right political spin, because the housing crisis will become a genuine crisis before long, they're going to have a solution for that crisis. And I think these will be that. They'll bring these in and people will be good for them. You know, I think you can get one for around 60,000 here. We'll get you a nice one, like £60,000. They are nice. So, it'd be a viable option for a lot of people. So then you've got people's expectations are all of a sudden down to a, 30-foot by 10-foot box.
I think they're only going to really catch on if they are stackable. And I know that containers are stacked about 10 high in the yards around here, in the trucking yard. Yeah. But I'm kind of joking in a way. But,
well, you say that. There's a city in Europe. If I can find the link, I'll put it in. And they have actually done this. It's a big movement. I can't remember where it is. I will look it up. There's a big movement. And this guy sort of drove it and it was crowdfunded and all these kind of things to help people. And basically it's stacked up shipping containers done up in an artistic way. So, you know, they're all colored and it looks good, but
I look at the practical side. How are they wired? How are they plumbed? How do you get up there? Does someone go up on a forklift to get it up? It seems crazy.
They cut holes in them and put stairs. They make them real industrial, kind of like modern art looking houses. There's some pretty badass ones.
It's surprising.
Yeah. Shipping container houses, you'll be amazed.
Yeah, they are nice.
Really? I had no idea. I'm driving behind a container right now, but it's just full of freight.
And the engineering that goes into it, there are companies out there that engineer these amazing things. You know, they're like beds that will fold out of the wall. And what would you call it? Ergonomically, would you design? So, not ergonomically, I can't think of the word. But so
ergonomics,
But these shelves will level out flat, you know, as you fold the bed into the wall, you've got shelves to keep everything on the shelf. And you've got tables that will turn into different, you know, all these different interesting ways of using space.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of engineering gone into it. So it's definitely feasible, you know, with these things within a very small space, you can have a lot of stuff, you know, with all these things hidden into walls. And so, yeah, it's interesting. And it's cool. It actually interests me. At this stage, I think, something like that.
Yeah, me too. I think they look cool.
Yeah, if I could get some land, you know, that's something I would consider. Get land and have one of them and figure something out that way. But
Lumberjack, Greg, would you live in a container?
I guess I do.
You would?
Well... I don't know. Around here, there's such an industry in trailer manufacturing. I've never seen that, what you guys are talking about before.
Well, you should get to those guys and tell them they can make some serious money pretty soon. Get ahead of the market. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it will happen because it's just you see it, don't you? It's more and more here. There's a TV show, say, here called Noel Clark's Amazing Spaces. And it's pushing. Yeah. It's had about 7 seasons now. It's all about small housing, small...
Yeah, tiny houses?
Places.
Yeah. Yeah. And
yeah, that's the way to sell it, with the reality TV show about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to admit, and I think most people would admit it, I live in a small house, but if you look at how much space you live in, it's very little. You don't really expand in every room. Not a lot. Especially, I guess, in places like New York City where it's so super concentrated that tiny places you have to make do with them. You basically have to just slide yourself into a box at night and slide yourself out in the morning.
Yeah, we looked into getting those shipping containers because we just moved. But, after doing research online and everything, like you can get containers, just plain shipping containers from a company for as low as like $5,000-$6,000, up to more for insulated ones or whatever. But it costs a lot to get.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Sorry about that. That was supposed to come on the hour. It's 4 minutes after. What happened? You were going to get a shipping container. Where would you put it? Where would you put it? You have to have land, right?
Yeah, you get land, and you can put piers down or a slab or something. There's all kinds of ways to do it.
Yeah, there are loopholes.
My buddy bought a couple of storage buildings on his land. He's got a couple just sitting out in his pasture. He just uses it for storage.
Well, yeah, I understand for storage, but to live in, and are you saying? Because to me, it just sounds like a trailer park. I understand trailer parks. I'm almost somewhat interested in buying a big trailer and potentially dragging it around. But they're gorgeous, some of the big ones. But of course, they have to be hooked up, and you have to have somewhere to park it.
Yeah, just do a search for container homes. You'll see what they can do with them. It's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. But it's not really cheap. They try to sell it like it's a cheap alternative, but once you get it done up nice, it's not really that much cheaper. And you don't want to live in just a basic container, because a lot of those containers, they carry all kinds of nasty stuff, you know?
Well, of course. Maybe you could clean it out, or you could buy a new one, I suppose. It's just steel.
Right.
Corrugated steel.
With
not
a wood,
insulated.
Wood flooring. It usually has a wood floor in there.
Yeah. Well, I'm not at that stage. I haven't been knocked down all the pegs to that stage yet, and hope I don't have to ever be there, but... interesting.
Mm. It's the other way they're using it here. All the schools now, I know this has probably been done for a long time, but all the schools are built prefab now around here. We've had 3 schools built, and every one, because I know someone who works in that area, and they've all been built out of prefab boxes, just stacked.
Okay.
Already fitted out. With the basics, and then just
well, we call them portables. We call them portables here. Whenever a population of an area, they just roll these things in, and they're awful to. They're not good because they have heating issues and.
Yeah, these ones are top of the line. These ones are top end. When I used to do the groundworks, we used to work on army camps, and that's how they used to build the army housing. And basically, they get them in, I think it was Sweet Scandinavia. It was a pre-made room. So the room would come fitted out on the back of the lorry in a box. And it would be, there'd be a wardrobe, bed, a desk, you know, lots of bits and pieces. It's fully fitted, ready to rig up. And they would literally just stack these things up, butt them all up against each other and stack them up high. And then put a layer, you know, insulation around them, brickwork. And they would go up and you wouldn't tell. And these were huge buildings. So it's a method they've been using for a while.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's just, again, it's a part of that. It is a good way forward as well. It is a convenient method of building with industry, you know, because these buildings go up quick. So it's not all of negative and all of that. There's a lot of benefits to it. You know, with containers, if I want to build a
house. Where's the housing crisis in Britain? Is it just London and the... Greater metropolitan London area, or I don't think you're in London. You're somewhere else, right?
Yeah, I'm in the south, but it's an expensive area here. there's a housing crisis everywhere. But I'd say the South is hard because the prices are so high. They are really high.
Okay.
But yeah, there is a crisis amongst everyone around here, people in my position. They work, and the wages haven't gone up in accordance with the housing.
Yeah,
the house prices, you know, not at all. I was actually speaking to my uncle, and he's a builder, and he was saying in the 80s, during the boom, I think it was after Thatcher, in the 80s, he was on good money then. This was good money, but he was on around 140 to 150 a day then. And his first house cost him 22,000. Now, he is still, the wage for him, he's still a builder, and he's on 150 to 170 a day now. Houses now, the equivalent house, his first house was a two-bed, the equivalent house in the same town is 220,000.
Wow.
So that's actual numbers given by him, and he's not into any of this, that was just him, you know, telling it how it was. But that's 10 times in house prices and barely anything in wages. And around here there's a lot of tradesmen, so those tradesmen that got into the good houses, you know, they're all in 300 grand houses now, but that's only because it was right place, right time. You know, they got in when these houses were a third of the price. Now there's people coming up that are in the same position. They're falling into trades and all sorts of, you know, it's middle class, working middle class sort of jobs. They cannot afford a £300,000 house. So,
yeah,
it's an issue.
Well, it's all because of low interest rates that have been low for a long time, and people can borrow great scads of money. And as long as they pay the interest, they can keep it. And that's a worldwide thing.
Yeah.
And every solution spawns a problem. And the solution of cheap money has created a housing problem, just like when...
Yeah, it's the issue of interest, isn't it, really? There's a lot of the people that argue against interest and usury. And I can't see wrong in that argument, really. Can't see much need for interest at all. Because, like you say, if, you know, everything's balanced, isn't it? Without interest, you know, if I pay you to do a job for me, 150, you can then go pay your cleaner for the week, or 150, and she can go pay such and such. There's a chain that goes on there. Everyone gets their money, and it's that same bit of money that was in circulation from the very beginning. You know, nothing's been added, so nothing else needs to be. Do you know what I mean? There's a interest provides like an impossibility, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what the solution is. I don't know if getting rid of interest will work, because in Islam, they don't allow interest, but they have a way around it, so they don't call it interest. And I can't remember, I was explained to me how they do it, but I can't exactly remember and tell you how they do it. But everyone has to get paid, and they have a way of paying for it somehow if they don't even call it interest. So everyone, there's always ways around everything. Let's put it that way.
There is, yeah, of course, yeah. And artificial inflation is one of them, because I think things should be worth the value of their labour. You know, like a house. Yeah, you know, a house, fair enough, it could cost. A man could spend in materials and in his time over 100,000. You know, so I can see the need for houses being at a high price, but I don't think a man, if you went to build a house from scratch, it wouldn't cost, you know, it's not going to cost you 300,000 to build that house. It's going to cost you probably a third of that. Materials, so there's an artificial inflation of it there, isn't there? It isn't,
because the land it's on has to be worth something, and the closer you are to water and all these things changes the price of the land. So
the land is a funny one, isn't it? Because the land it's on is kind of speculative. The land price, if in a way, it's unless that land's got something particularly important on it, it's only a tiny patch of land. Because that's the other thing, it boils down to all your green belt and brown belt. Because with this overpopulation argument, I mean, England's a small country. Where I am, there is a shitload of land. You know, there is space everywhere, so much space. Forests, fields, you know, like, we're not. And even when you go further west, there's, you know, into Devon, Cornwall, it is just so much open space. And, I think land, again, has been artificially inflated with overpopulation, all these things, people kind of...
Well, the land in northern Canada is not worth anything, so it's really just... Real estate is made up of three things. I'm sure you've heard it. Location, location, and location. Everything else is just, like you said, a standard price for the walls, the floors, the roof, but everything is location when it comes to real estate. But yeah. I'm going to have to sign off now. I'm going to have my dinner. It was nice chatting with everybody. I might come back later if I don't do some more research. But you guys are certainly welcome to stay here and have a chitty chat.
But,
I have to pass off, but hopefully we'll see you guys again soon.
Okay, enjoy your dinner, Ed.
Thank you, Lumberjack, and thank you, Abiz, and thank you, Conkers.
See you later.
Take care.
Bye.
Bit noisy around here. Is that picking up anyone?
Bonjour, je suis Unreal et vous écoutez Radio Fakeologist avec Abirato et ses invités.